Strange things happened the day that the Son of God was crucified. You just read them. Jesus had let out a loud shout, and he said, "It is finished." Just want to remind you that he wasn't finished, but the devil soon would be finished. He had finished what was required for the salvation for you and for me. And his mission was over. But what happened next is amazing. There was a curtain secluding the Holy of Holies in the temple, and it split apart from top to bottom. Not from the bottom up, but from the top to the bottom. The earth shook. Old saints came out of the graves. Imagine them walking in Jerusalem, eh? Someone's like, there's Abraham and there's Moses. Well, I don't know how they identified them, but it would have been an amazing thing, eh? Imagine if suddenly out of the graves of Waikimiti, people came out and started walking around. It'd be pretty freaky, wouldn't it? But it's real. It's actually happened. Awesome. The temple curtain, Luke calls it a thick veil, and it was 30 feet wide, and they say 40 to 60 feet high, and Josephus says it's 4 inches thick. He says this: if there were horses on each side of the veil, they would not be able to pull it apart. It was so heavy, one writer says it took 300 priests to move it. Humanly speaking, this veil could not be split from top to bottom. It took an act of Almighty God to split the curtain and open the way. So why did the veil of the temple have to be split? What was it? Well, it was a curtain. It curtained off the Holy of Holies, which is the innermost part of the tabernacle. And it's where the presence of God dwelt, the manifest presence of God. So the curtain was a barrier between God and man, a barrier for their own good. See, no one was allowed to this point in time into the manifest presence of God except the high priest. And he could go in once a year on the Day of Atonement, sprinkle the blood for the sins of the people. But there was only once a year for a few minutes. And they went on to say that, you know, so apart from that, there was no access beyond the veil. It was like this huge sign: danger, keep out. If you go in, you could lose your life. In fact, they said that the high priest's garments, they had a bell tied to his, somewhere around his ankle somewhere. And so they would listen for the rattling of the bell. And they'd have a rope attached to his ankle. So if the bell, I'm not sure where the bell was, but if the bell stopped ringing or tinkling, they thought he may have died in the manifest presence of God. And they'd use the rope to drag him out, pull him back out. Because no one else dared go in to the glorious manifest presence of God. Entry was barred. You and I, no one could go in. The veil was there to keep man out. So imagine, I read this, I'm not sure who I read it from, but someone. Imagine standing outside the White House in the United States, and you're looking through the fence and you just want to talk to the president. Got a few issues, you know. I won't go into what they might be, but concern for the poor, a few other things, maybe guns and whatever it might be. So you say to the guard, "I would like to see the president." And he says, "Well, you know, what's your name?" And then he looks at the list and he says, "You actually don't have an appointment." And so you say, "Well, how do I get one?" And so they said, "Well, you've got to talk to the security and see if they'll let you in." And so he says, "Then you've got to talk to the chief of staff." So he says, "Well, can I have their number?" And they said, no, it's a private number. You can't have it. It's restricted." He said, "Well, how can I call them?" And he said, "Well, it's better that they call you." And he said, "But they don't know who I am and they don't have my number." Then they say, "Well, it's better that you just wait and maybe sometime they will call you," which is probably never going to happen. So the point is, he was so close to seeing the presence. It was just a fence and a bit of security keeping him out. We know with the president of all presidents, we're never going to get an invitation to the president of the United States, or even our prime minister, probably not going to ever get an invitation. But when it comes to the president of all presidents, the invitation has already been sent to you. And you already have access into the presence of God. because someone up there has seen you down here and he has made a way. See, the only way that guy could have gotten to see the president of the United States was if the president looked down and saw that guy down there and said, hey, I want to talk to him. And then all the barriers would have been removed and he would have gone straight in. Every barrier would have been gone because someone up there saw him and said, hey, I want to talk to him. Well, someone up there has seen you and he said, I want to talk to you. I want to have a time with him. I want you to come into my presence. And so an invitation has been made for you to enter into the manifest presence of God. The sign saying no access. See, for 1,500 years, the veil of the temple separated mankind from the presence of God. 1,500 years. And then Easter, then the cross, the veil was torn in two. And the sign saying no access was replaced, was welcome, come on in. You are invited into my presence. Every barrier has been removed. See, the tearing of the veil was one of the most significant events in the history of mankind, in the history of our relationship with God. The sin that separated God and man had been removed through Easter, through Jesus, through his death and his resurrection on the cross. You see, when the high priest went in once a year to cover for the sins of the people, it was only temporary and had to be done over and over again. It didn't last. And we read that in Hebrews 10, 3 and 4. In those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year. For it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. But in the New Testament, everything changes. The blood of Jesus shed once and for all. It was permanent, covering for the sins of mankind. It didn't have to be done over and over again, year after year. No, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. Now every Christian, every born-again believer has access to the Holy of Holies, has access to the presence of God. No one is barred entry. Friends, it's nothing to do with your race. It's nothing to do with your color, your education, your background, the life that you've lived, how good you've been. It's nothing to do with that. Access to the presence of God is everything to do with the blood of Jesus Christ. You don't earn entry. You don't deserve entry. It's been made free of charge. That's why we celebrate Easter. Part of the reason is that access has been made for you and me forever into the presence of God. A man dies and he's at heaven's gates. And Peter meets him. And Peter says, you need 100 points to get into heaven. Tell me all the good things you've done. He says, well, I've been married to the same woman for 50 years. He says, wow, fantastic. 3 points. He's thinking, only three? Peter said, what else have you done? He said, I attended church all my life, never missed a Sunday, supported its ministry, paid my tithes, gave all my money, and I served. Peter says, wow, it's another point. He's up to 4. He needs 100, all right? So what else have you done? He said, well, I started a soup kitchen for the poor. And I worked in a shelter and I looked after people. Peter said, fantastic. 2 points. He's up to 6. Needs 100. Man cries out and says, at this rate, the only way I'm going to get into heaven is by the grace of God. And Peter says, that's right. Now you've got it. The blood of Jesus that we celebrate today can get you into heaven. It's not so much all the things that you do, though you should do them. We don't earn the way to heaven. Why we celebrate Easter is because the price has been paid, the blood has been shed, forgiveness is available to every single one of us. That's why we're so happy about Easter. Hebrews 4 verse 16 goes on to say that, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We can approach God with boldness. Make our requests known. I wonder how bold you are in going to God and asking for your help. Or do you sort of quiver a little bit, feel unsure? Can I really go? Is he really going to listen to me? Is it okay? Have I been good enough? Have I, you know, have I lived right? Have I prayed? You know, all of these things come up in our minds. But my Bible says, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. And because of that, not because of what you've done, you can go boldly right into the presence of God and make your request known to Him. You have an audience with the President of all presidents. No restrictions, no limitations. The sign is up. Welcome to you. Come on in. I'm waiting for you. See, the devil can't shut us out from the presence of God. He can't do it. Because none of us have committed a sin that the blood can't deal with. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some of you need a reminder today. It's not your good works. It's the blood of Jesus. It's the blood of Jesus. Tell the person next to you, it's the blood of Jesus. Cleanses from all sin. Removes every mistake. Every error you've made is gone. Not only is it gone, it is buried in the depths of the sea. It's out of the records. It's removed from all the records. You know that sin that keeps bothering you? You can go and talk to God about it, and guess what He's going to say? What are you talking about? He looks at the records. He'll say, there is no record. Yeah. But Lord, I did it on this and this day. He said, there is no record. Now, some other people might remind you of it. The elder brother. But not God. Yeah. It's under the blood. It's removed. Yeah. There is no record. Tell the person next to you, there is no record. I don't think we really believe that, do we? We kind of, somehow because it's in our minds, we think it's in the eternal records. But actually, according to my Bible, it's not. It's not in the eternal records. And somehow we've got to get it out of our minds as well. Because if you keep thinking there's a record there, and you keep remembering, then you're going to be a bit hesitant going into the presence of God. You're going to lack the boldness that you should have before God. Because you're going to think, well, because I've done this and this, I don't deserve this and this. I don't deserve the blessing of God in this area because of the mistakes I have made. Friends, you don't deserve anything. You don't. You're a sinner saved by grace. None of us deserve anything. You know, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. It's the blood of Jesus that gives us access to the presence of God. And because of the blood, you can be bold as a lion. Make your request, to God. I want to encourage you today. Don't hold back on your request. Don't hold back on your boldness. Don't let the devil whisper in your ear, no, you don't deserve that. Look, you don't deserve it anyway. We know that. Say, devil, I know I don't deserve it. But hey, my God is a God of grace. My God is a God of mercy. My God is a God of love. And He will bless me because of the blood of Jesus Christ. The price has been paid. I can go boldly to the throne of grace and make my request known to God. I'm not holding back. I don't know about you guys. You might hold back on your request, but I go in unashamed despite the mistakes I have made, which there are plenty. The devil's so clever. You go home and check yourself sometimes, and often you're going to think, but I don't deserve it. You don't deserve salvation, quite frankly. God gives it anyway. It's gone very quiet in this place, but anyway, I'll keep on going. Listen to this story. Hotel keeper went to a meeting of Charles Finney, the great revivalist. And he said to Finney, I've heard you've said the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. He said, I've been a vile husband to my wife. Is there forgiveness for me? Finney says, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Everyone say all. Sometimes we think all except mine. We really do. It just hangs over us. The man goes on and says, I have a beautiful daughter. I got so angry with her that I threw a pot of boiling water over her face. Scarred her for life. Is there a forgiveness for a man like me? And he says, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Pulls a drawer on his desk in front of him. pulls out a revolver, puts it on top of the desk, and he says, with this gun, the barman shot one man, and then I shot another man. Is there forgiveness for a man such as I? And he says, the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. It's true, friends. It really is true. That's why we're so excited about Easter. When the blood of Jesus was shed for the sins of all the world. His blood isn't powerful enough to cover for the sins from the first man to the last man and every sin committed in between. The billions and trillions of sins, the blood of Jesus has never lost its power. Friends, don't ever think, you know, don't ever, we tend to grade sins, you know, from here to up there. The blood of Jesus, friends, covers for all of it. Yes, there was forgiveness for a man such as that. So Ephesians 2:13 puts it this way. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You've been brought near. Right now, he's near to you. Why don't you just acknowledge him right now? Just acknowledge Jesus. Just say, Lord, I acknowledge your presence with me right now. Go and do it. Just do it. Do it however you want to do it. Quietly, loudly, however. Just acknowledge his presence with you. It's my prayer that before the service finishes, many of you are going to feel a presence of God that you have not felt for a long time. Because that's what this message is all about. Freedom of access to the presence of God. No barrier, no hindrance. And God, my Bible says, confirms his word. So when you preach on something, his word should confirm it. So I'm praying you'll feel his presence. Right now, that some of you just feel a presence of God. Feel the nearness of God. Feel his closeness to you, friends. This is what Christianity is all about. That God's drawn near to us, and we kind of think, like, really, me? Why would God draw near to me? You know, nothing remains between you and God but an open door. Barrier of sin is down, the curtain is removed, but guess what? We can put the barrier up again. And we often do. Even though there's no curtain and no temple, there's a curtain in our hearts. Curtain in our hearts, which makes a barrier between us and God. We put it up. We allow mistakes to keep us from God. Our guilty conscience becomes a curtain that separates us from the presence of God. I could ask you the question, how many of you, when you've kind of lost your cool and been a bit angry and you think, well, I can't really go to God now. That's how we think, don't we? It doesn't work that way. If you've made a mistake, sure, confess it, ask God's forgiveness. But the curtain has been torn and you can go straight into the presence of God. And I think the enemy's always trying to keep us out of God's presence. And so we feel unworthy to go in his presence. I've been like that. It's a mistake. And so we hide from our master. Kind of. You know, like Adam and Eve when they sinned. They went and hid. And God came looking for them. Where are you, Adam? Where are you, Eve? This is what happens. We do something wrong. We go and hide. And you know one of the worst things we sometimes do? We hide from people. We hide from our small group. We hide from church. We go and hide. Really, that's the worst thing to do. Because you just drift further and further away. No. Remember the message of Easter. That the blood of Jesus has forgiven you. And you don't need to go and hide. You don't need to run into a corner. You can continue to go boldly into the presence of God. Into the throne room of God. And make your bold request. Come on, give God a praise in the house, would you? Come on. Resurrection Sunday. Resurrection Sunday. The blood of the Lamb. Wow. It's amazing. It's amazing. God isn't angry with you. Wow. Wow, really? I might be angry with some of you, but God's not angry with you. He's already dealt with your mistakes. Maybe you've been avoiding God, a veil of guilt between you and God. The message of today, can I say it again? The curtain is down. The door is open. The welcome mat is before you. And Jesus says, come on in. I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. Come on in. Don't hide from me. I'm not hiding my face from you. Come on in. Is anyone getting this message this morning? Is it getting home? Is it getting home? You have no idea how much God longs for your presence. You have no idea how he yearns for you. It's not only a welcome back, Matt, it's a pleading. Please come. Please. I paid such a price. My body was broken. My blood was shed. Why? So you and I could have fellowship together. See, this is the original design, the Garden of Eden. Man walking with God in the cool of the day. That was the whole reason of, in a sense of creation, was God wanted fellowship with human beings. He wanted communion with you and with me. That's the whole motivation of God. So so you can be certain of this, he is waiting for your presence. There's no barrier from God's side. It's all from our side. We prevent ourselves getting closer to God. He is longing for your presence. He is longing for fellowship for you. He is longing. He's waiting. He's waiting. You know, sometimes you think of people who are courting and going out together and whatever, many years ago for me. But, you know, you wait, you know. Sometimes you're waiting for that phone call. Or just waiting for that person to come and to visit you because, you know, you just, there's a relationship. And when there's a relationship, you just want to be together. Right? And so, you know, if the person's been away or so, you're just waiting for them to come. So why? You can just talk and chat and be together. Well, that person waiting is God. The lover of your soul. You're the apple of his eye. You know, you're his all in all. And he's waiting for you. Every single day he waits. Are you going to turn up? You're going to go into that closet, lock the door, and say, Jesus, here I am. Come on, let's have some time together. May not feel fantastic all the time. Doesn't matter. Sometimes I pray and I think, where is God? You know, I'm here. I don't feel much, but I know he's there. I just keep doing it. Every so often I really feel that he's there. It's awesome. When I was driving out to golf the other day, just praying about some stuff, and he was there. I thought, oh, wow, this is awesome. Then I prayed half an hour later and didn't feel he was there, but he's still there. It's not what you feel. He is there anyway. I just want you to get that message. You're welcome into his presence. You know, some of you, if you ever got an invitation to the White House to meet the President of the United States, you know, you'd probably go and tell a lot of people, look, here's my invitation. What is it? I'm invited to the White House. Meet with the president and some of the leaders of the United States of America. You'd probably go around and tell people, say, I've got the invitation. Friends, that invitation is nothing compared to the invitation from the greatest president of all time. And you have his invitation sitting in your hands every single day. So go on in. Go on in. Spend some time with the master. Do you know, one of our problems is that our homes, we live in a world of closed doors. You know, shut doors, homes are fenced, society's full of rejection. Most of us have experienced that. We don't feel accepted, don't feel welcome in certain circumstances. But then God to give us an open door into his presence, it's kind of hard to understand that. Like, we're so accustomed to barriers, to rejection, to not being accepted. Unworthy, all the rest of it. We think if people don't want our presence, how on earth would God want our presence? But he does, because he loves you more than any other person on this planet, and his invitation is always there. We have an audience with the King. You know, no other religion offers this kind of relationship with God. Only Christianity offers this to you and me. Matthew 28:20, I am with you always. Jeremiah 30:21, I will bring him near, and he will come close to me. For who is he who will devote himself to be close to me? Why don't you be that person? Why don't you devote yourself to be close to God. Some of you are devoted to being close to some other things, you know that really get your attention. You want to be close to, I don't know, your favorite sports game, or you want to be close to some game on the phone. You know, there's things you want to be close to. You know, and you devote yourself to, you know, maybe a hobby or whatever it might be. There's nothing wrong with those things. But the challenge I want to give you today, why don't you devote yourself to be close to God? Well, you say, hey, well, how do I do that? Go home, shut the door, and just say, Jesus, here I am. And just hang around. Just hang around. Just pray. Learn to pray. Just, there's no formula here, folks. There's no formula. You start doing that on a regular basis, I'm telling you, he's going to turn up. You're going to enjoy his presence. You're going to have fellowship. It may take a bit of time, but you will get there. The first key to prayer is turn up. Just turn up. Tell the person next to you, just turn up. Yeah. That's it. That's where it starts. You don't have to have it all planned. You don't have to have it all sorted out. You know, when I go to prayer, I have no idea what I'm going to do. I think God sometimes says, you have no idea what you're doing, have you? But anyway, I just keep going. He's very gracious. He's very kind. Don't settle for a Christian life at a distance from God. Don't settle for a Christian life at a distance from God. That's never the way it was planned. And it won't work. It'll just be a struggle. Don't settle for a Christian life at a distance from God. The veil of the temple is torn. Access into his presence is open for every single person in this building. And it's not to do with your race or your color or your background or your spirituality, your good works or your bad works. It's nothing to do with that. It's everything to do with the blood of Jesus. The shed blood, the curtain is split. You can have fellowship with God. I can have fellowship with God. Every one of us can have fellowship with God. He's waiting for you. He's longing for you. He longs for your presence as much as he longs for mine. Because we're all equal in the sight of God. He has no favorites, folks. Let's get this right. He has no favorites. We're all made in his image. We're all in his likeness. And we're all welcome into his presence. Drawing near is an invisible act of the heart. You can do it right now. Say, Lord, I acknowledge your presence. Go on, just do it. Lord, I draw near right now. You're with me. It's real, isn't it? You keep doing that, I'm telling you, his presence will increase. It just will. You just keep doing it. It's an invisible act of the heart. No one can see it. You can do it all day, every day. This is the one thing that can satisfy us completely and forever. Listen to Psalm 16, verse 11. I love this. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. The veil of the temple split. You can go into his presence. And in his presence is what? Fullness of? We look in all the wrong places. We think, well, if I can do that, it's going to give me joy. If I do that, it's going to give me joy. If we can meet with these people, it's going to give me joy. Yeah, maybe to a measure. But in his presence is fullness of joy. Fullness, because that's what you were made for. You were made for time with God, relationship with God, knowing God, loving God. All right, we better wrap this up. Luke 10, verse 41 to 42. Jesus answered and said to Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. One thing is needed. Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. All of life conspires to hinder us developing an awareness of God's presence. So the enemy just keeps us busy, 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 busy. And when you're too busy, you struggle to get close to God. You end up with the barrenness of busyness. So busy, we end up barren. Because we need to be with God and in his presence. Okay, let me just give you a few quick thoughts. How to increase the awareness of God's presence in your life. Number one, obvious, prayer. Time with God. James 4, verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. How simple is that? I mean, how simple is that? You draw near to God. You say, well, how do I do that? Go home, lock the door, say, Jesus, here I am. Draw near to God. God's word does not lie. And he will draw near to you. Is it that simple? Yes. It is that simple. See, to me, the main purpose of prayer is not answers. It's developing your relationship with God. That's what I reckon. If all you do is pray for answer, 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 it's like you're talking to a, it's like mechanical, isn't it? God, do this. God, do that. God, do that. God, do the other thing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Santa Claus. No, folks. That's the lowest level of prayer possible. All you're doing is asking God for things. Hey, do it, though. You've got to ask to receive. More than that, develop your relationship with God. Then you'll actually know what to ask for. Just won't be your me, me, me. You'll ask for the right things. Secondly, read your Bible. Tell the person next to you, read your Bible. Good, do it. And let God speak. When he speaks, meditate on it, because when you meditate on God speaking, his presence accompanies his voice. His presence accompanies his voice. So read till he speaks, and then meditate on it. Listen to Christian music, goes without saying. Spotify is great. But stop often during the day to acknowledge God's presence and to focus on him. The veil of the temple has been torn. The keep out sign was ripped down, been replaced with a welcome mat. We can boldly enter the presence of God anytime, any place, anywhere. It doesn't get better than that in Jesus' name. Amen.